Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now is Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, here to talk about the outcome of the Saints-Miami game. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Yeah, there was a Saints game yesterday. I feel like we got like third billing behind like the Lane Kiffin hire and the Sumrall hire over at Florida. But yeah, there was a football game too.
It is amazing how many major college football organizations are out looking for head coaches right now. Yep. I was teasing Tommy Tucker, asking him who's he going to coach next year. You know, it's crazy.
No doubt. Yeah, and they really need to do something about the schedule, because, like, I get it. Coaches need to find opportunities. But any time you're in this situation that Lane is in, which I don't know, I felt like the LSU fired Brian Kelly. They fired Scott Woodward. And, like, we're going to do things differently. And then they ended up doing the exact same thing. I kind of feel like it's a little redundant. But either way, like, the fact that if you are a coach, like, even Summerall, who's led a team to the college football playoff effectively, or at least on the precipice of it, in order to take that next step to an SEC program, you have to abandon your team in the middle of that run. It just feels wrong. And the schedule is the reason, because if you don't, you're going to be behind the eight ball in recruiting, and then you're probably going to have a harder time succeeding at that next job. So it's just, they really got to do something about it, because it just, you're not doing these athletes right, and the coaches really don't have any choice. So I don't know. I'm hopeful that they find a way, because it just seems gross.
Yeah, you know, I asked this question of not only, you know, college football, but in the NFL as well. When does the ceiling come tumbling down? I mean, you know, the numbers that we're talking about, the contracts that we're talking about, these numbers are mind-numbing, and they keep growing every year. And obviously, I guess the NFL recognizes they got to improve audience share. Now they're moving to Europe in order to create new markets out there, the potential in new markets, which is all about new money, new wallets, right?
Yeah, it's a lot different in the NFL, just in the sense that you can account for all the money. Like, you know how much you're paying your quarterback. You know how much you can only pay them so much. And it's kind of the wild, wild west in college right now, where, you know, there's no cap on it. It's just going to keep rising until people say, no, this is the most we can pay. And then there's the NIL budgets. And, you know, it's I guess it's a good thing it's not all under the table anymore, but it's, I don't know. In the NFL, it's just kind of strange, because, you know, just to kind of pivot back to football, like, you look at the Dolphins, and, you know, they're paying Tua Tagovailoa $53 million a year. I don't know if you watch that game, you're like, that guy? That's the guy? That's the $53 million a year quarterback? But it's like, you can't extend your quarterback. You can't re-sign your quarterback now, even if they're in the top 15, without paying out an insane contract. Like, Brock Purdy is making $60 million a year. Like, it makes it so, hey, you know, the Saints, if you're in a position where you do feel like, and I feel like we've talked about this already, but if you do feel like you can roll forward with the rookie quarterback for a couple of years, I mean, you look at what some of these teams are spending on that quarterback line item, and you're looking at a clean, like, $2 million. It does provide an advantage. It's why the Seahawks were able to have that kind of multi-year Super Bowl contender run with Russell Wilson on his rookie contract. Dak Prescott with the Cowboys was similar, but they never got to the postseason. But no, the numbers are astronomical, and now you're seeing wide receivers, you know, they're all making $30 million. Your outside cornerbacks are making in the $20 million range. It becomes, you know, I wish teams would be a little bit more, you know, dig their heels in a little bit more when it comes to, like, no, we can't reset the market with every new contract. It just doesn't make sense. Like, there are times to reset the market, but it happens so flippantly that it's just become this, like, ridiculous, hey, how can you field a competitive team if you're paying your quarterback and your wide receiver and your top wide receiver, like, $90 million combined? It just doesn't compute.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. And, you know, what's also interesting is as you look across the NFL, so I took, like, the teams that have the, you know, bad records at this point in time and kind of went out to those stations that were airing those games and were looking at the attendance. It was pretty abysmal. I know it's a holiday weekend. I get that. Maybe it's a better judge next weekend, but they not a lot of people in the stands. There were not a lot of people in the stands in Miami. Of course, it was raining like all hell, but I mean, it was looked pretty empty on TV.
Yeah, there were moments throughout the game that I think people were hiding in the concourse. I actually felt like at points there was a decent crowd, you know, and they were very quiet. It was weird because, you know, I felt like they at halftime it was like, well, we won this game, and then all of a sudden it got close. And, you know, the Saints went for the 2-point conversion. I think one of the reasons there was a false start was because that was the first time all day I was aware there was a crowd. Like, it just got incredibly loud for that one play. And it was like, oh, they can get loud. But no, I mean, it's a weird time of year, right? Cause you're talking about some teams that are still in the fringe. Like, they're in the hunt graphic. Like, the Dolphins probably feel that way right now. They got 5 wins, but they're right on the fringe. If they can get it, if they can put another couple of wins in a row, they might force themselves into that conversation. And then you have teams like the Saints that, even in a weak division that's kind of up for grabs, you look at the Panthers and the Bucs are kind of just right there. Even the Falcons are right there despite the season they're having. And the Saints are completely outside of that picture, which, you know, the Titans, the Jets, the Raiders, you know, it's a very demoralizing place to be, for sure.
So let's talk about the game. Why don't we start with the quarterback while we were talking about quarterbacks? Your thoughts on Shucks, and what he was able to accomplish yesterday?
Yeah, you know, the slow starts have just been a theme, and it's a theme that's not going away. You know, I think this is another example of, particularly early in the game, you know, the Saints offense and the quarterbacks, whether it be Rattler or Shuck, have not handled kind of high blitz rate teams, teams that muddy up the picture and make you operate off schedule and do things post snap. Like, you know, this was the third matchup against a team that was top five in blitz rate, and it's the third time they've been held to three or fewer points in the first half. The other two were the Bucks and the Falcons. You're going to see the Bucks again next week. We'll see if they handle it a little bit better. But that's just, it's just frustrating. You know, you watch the defense, and I thought the defense actually, outside of that opening drive, which was ugly, I thought they handled themselves pretty well, but you just send them back on the field over and over and over again. I think their first five drives, the Saints' first five offensive possessions of the game, they ran 16 plays. They had 4 3 and outs in one drive that they ran 4 plays and then fumbled the ball. The Saints got the ball back. The defense, Kool-Aid, intercepted the ball on the next play, so they got the ball right back to the offense, and what they do, they go 3 and out again. So that's just frustrating, and you got to find a way to manufacture offense early in the game. I will say, for a rookie quarterback, a lot of times it's, you know, you don't expect a rookie to kind of rein it back in and bounce back from a half like that. Like, a lot of times you'll see rookies come out, look good to start the game, and then gradually the defense figures them out. They become less effective. We saw that against the Giants, right? When Jackson Dart, in his second or third career start, they went out and scored touchdowns on their first two possessions of that game. They didn't score again. They turned the ball over on five straight possessions. That's what you expect to see out of a rookie. And the confidence-inspiring part of that game is you were able to kind of claw it back. You were able to run offense, and he was able to stay composed. You know, there was a point in the first half that things were going poorly, and I saw him kind of going up and down the sideline, talking to every position group, being like, guys, we just need to keep doing it. Like, it's going to pop. We're going to get it. We're close. And that was the case in the second half. He had a couple nice drives, three drives for points. Obviously, the 56-yard field goal, he'd love that to be closer, but, you know, you were able to knock it in, and you executed the first two-point conversion. The second one didn't go so well. That was from the 7-yard line. But now you see the flashes, and that's what you need to see. It's a rookie quarterback in his fourth career start. Not going to be perfect, but he's given you a chance, and that's what you can hope for. And you just need to continue to see the steps forward, correcting mistakes. You're going to get rooked a few times. That interception in the first half, I think, was kind of a rookie situation. The Roswell Douglas kind of read the throw, jumped the route. Olave and Shuck weren't on the same page. Olave kind of sat it down. Shuck expected him to maybe get a bit more width, and the ball just went right to Douglas. The 2-point conversion, you know, if he had it back, he probably puts a little more air under it so that Vele can go up and get it rather than Minka Fitzpatrick being able to undercut it. And these are all things that's like, yeah, you're seeing a lot of these things for the first time. You know, these were Tyler Shuck's first two-point conversion attempts in his career, and one of them was from the 7-yard line. So, you know, it's frustrating. You lose another game. You're sitting there 2-10. But there is some reason for optimism to think, hey, okay, there's a quarterback here that's finding his way. And, you know, you're just going to kind of see how that develops over the final five games.
A little disappointing on the 4th-and-1. And I think we actually lost a yard. It comes down to a big play of the game, right?
Yeah, short yardage has not been kind to the Saints this year, and it's so, I don't know, sometimes, last week we came out of it saying, well, there's so much Taysom Hill. Why is there so much Taysom Hill? This week it's like they overcorrected, and we're like, we're not even going to use it at all, even in the situations that it tends to have worked, like 4th-and-1 in the middle of the field, you know? Like, it's kind of like all or nothing, right? Either you drink it through a fire hose or the water's off. Because I think those 4th-down situations in the middle of the field, those have been effective. It's the red zone reps that haven't worked. They tried to do a tush-push for the first time in a while, and the Saints have just been abysmal in those short-yarded situations when they just have to have it, you know? And you can kind of see it. Like, it was very transparent. I was a little disappointed in the play calling after that. You know, they should have had a go-ahead touchdown in that game if Chris Olave just holds on to the dang ball, which you got to do. I mean, you got to catch that ball, Chris. And so from there, it just felt like kind of disjointed. They rolled out on 3rd down. I thought Shuck had the opportunity to maybe try to run for 1st down. He only needed a yard just to kind of extend it. It looked like he was a little too conscious of the clock, which really wasn't a factor at that stage. He had the timeout. The important thing was extending the drive, and instead he threw it away. And he wasn't really under pressure to throw it away. There's a couple examples in that game where I felt like there was opportunities to be had, and I don't want to say panicked, but he gave up on a play a little earlier than I want to see. And then the 4th-down call, it's like, yeah, it's 4th-and-1. Let's do the least creative thing on the planet. I would have been fine with that on third down. At least then they wouldn't have necessarily been geared up for it. But no, there's always, it seems like you come out of every game with a handful of these sketchy kind of decisions that you can second guess. At the end of the day, it's just losing teams find ways to lose. And I think that drive was just kind of an example of that. Like, you gave yourself a chance you didn't expect to have, and you just did not deliver on it, despite having opportunities.
Yeah, the pass to Olave, I mean, it was the only place the ball could be placed in order to catch it. And, you know, the difference between those that do and those that don't are the ones that make those types of catches at critical points in the game, because that changed the whole that would have changed the whole complexion of the game at that point, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you win the game, right? You go up by three. Yeah. You know, and the thing is, like, the real frustrating thing is, you saw one of the most rare plays in sports, which is a 2-point conversion, run back for 2 points the other direction. And if not for that, if all you've done is thrown it out of the back of the end zone, if you get sacked, if you spike it into the ground, that's a 2-point game. And instead of going on fourth and one, you're attempting a 53-yard field goal for the win, which, I don't know, that 56-yarder right from Charlie was pretty spot on. I felt pretty confident he could knock that through. So, you know, it's one of those things that, hey, you know, I guess you want the best draft pick possible. This season's kind of lost. So at the end of the day, you know, it's not the end of the world. But, you know, that's just one of those things where, you know, losing teams lose. That said, yeah, Chris, it almost looked like he was surprised to have the ball because he was kind of covered and the guy fell down. And he got to catch that ball. You got to catch it. Like, that's a game-winning type play for your best player, your best offensive player in a critical moment. The rookie quarterback puts it where it needs to be. The wide receiver's got to catch that ball. There's just no way around it. And
Miami almost gives you the gift and watches the onside kick.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, no, I mean, two guys like actually watch the ball go right by him. And it's like, okay.
Well, you got to give the kicker credit for that, right? Because
it was a great
kicked it with the kind of helicopter. They're just like, I don't want any part of this, because – you know, it's rare to see a team actually execute that. And honestly, I don't think they did. I think they got it to about 9.7 yards, and they got bailed out by the fact that the refs ruled that the other team touched it. I don't know if they did. They were really – the refs in that game were really leaning on the call stands, indisputable video evidence part of it. It happened three times where it was like, that could be overturned. But, you know, and I appreciate that. That's how it's supposed to be ruled. If you don't know, you're not supposed to assume. And a lot of times, right, I get annoyed because refs tend to assume when it's like, you can't see it.
He made the right call, to start. And then you can see the muscle on the calf of that player where the ball hit it. And you can see the wave of the muscles, you know, in a slow-mo, yeah. You know, it was kind of incredible. And you pull that off and then, you know, whatever. I mean, you got to
give the special teams credit for the Saints, because they scouted that play. They saw that the one, which is where Devon Bailey was, that was the position he was in. The Dolphins don't block that player on onside kicks. So they knew he was going to get a free run. All he had to get was 10 yards, and they weren't going to want to touch that ball. They were just going to hope it would go out of bounds or he wasn't going to be able to catch it. And so they executed it. So you got to give special teams credit for that there, because it was really a play that they practiced, a play that they executed to perfection.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the end of the game, look, I'm disappointed, but I like that at the end of the game, they were still being competitive, right? The execution wasn't all there, but we were clawing, as you said earlier, we're clawing back into the game. You know, it certainly kept my interest in the game. And, you know, when they pulled that recovery off, I was like, oh, wow. I mean, here we are, you know, and.
Yeah, there are a lot of different ways to protect a draft pick. If you can make it watchable at the same time and still not ruin your draft pick position, I guess that's that's the winning result for a 2-9 football team, right?
Yeah, I keep forgetting about all of that, though. that's too complex for my sports brain, that's for sure.
I hear you.
As always, Jeff Nowak, always enjoy the conversation, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Great job yesterday. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Newley. Have a good one.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.